Hey, thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in four locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church, please visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
So I want you to know we're on week number five. In fact, I'm going to be wrapping up the series today. So I just want to kind of put a bow on it. My daughter asked me, Dad, you didn't give me the 3 points. I said, I'm just putting the bow on the end. I want to just kind of remind you through the series. And here was the question that we began the series with. Does God have a voice? Does God really speak to his people? And you answered, yeah, he really does. And then we went into this series discovering the languages of God, the way he does actually speak to us. And you might remember, I'll just remind you, week one, we talked about the desires, how God speaks through desires. That's not only taking away desires, and prayerfully, if you've given your life to Jesus, you probably have had some desires that have been taken away. I hope that you have. I hope there's some things that you used to do before Jesus that you say, I don't even want to be a part of that now that I have Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. That he's changed some desires, but not only taking some desires away, but he'll also upload some new desires. And I'm always so proud of people who start a small group or people that are now serving on Dream Team. And you see, you're watching God upload brand new desires that they've never had before. By the way, I just wanted to give a honor to Miss Gwen Goche. Yesterday, Miss Gwen was part of our Dream Team. She was at the O-Town Info. She was an incredible lady with a beautiful smile, an incredible, just a mama in the house. And we celebrated her homegoing yesterday. She went home to be with the Lord. She passed away in her sleep. And I just thought, no health problems, nothing. Just went away. Just went to be with Jesus in her sleep. And I thought, that's how I want to go. I just want to go to bed and then wake up in heaven. Wouldn't that be cool? Can we just put our hands together for Miss Gwen? What a blessing. What we honor that life. Yeah, just watching women like Miss Gwen, the desires being uploaded and watching them live that out. And so that's one way that God speaks. Number two, God also speaks through doors. Week two, I talked to you, not only will he close a door, but he'll also open brand new doors. And you might remember, I told you, you know, there's times that sometimes through pain, doors close. Maybe even times that we might not have acted appropriately to cause a door to close. But if we'll, sometimes those doors closing are God. And if you don't recognize that a closed door is God, you may not recognize the open door that's God. So even if you've walked through some very difficult, the layoff, the cutbacks, and I lost my job, instead of looking down, look up and go, thank you, God. You must be closing this door, so you must be opening another door, that God will use doors to speak to us. And then week three, I talked about dreams and visions. And someone asked me, Pastor, you, is every dream, how many of you dream at night sometimes? You have some dreams. Is every dream from God? And I would say, no, not every dream. Sometimes it's just bad pizza, stuff you had that night before. How many of you ever had that dream where you were at school in your underwear? How many of you ever had that dream? That's not from God. And so dreams, visions, even dreams during the day, you may be daydreaming, and God may download something to you, an idea, a word, or he may give you a picture of something, that he does speak in dreams and visions still. And then last week, I talked to you, probably one of the predominant ways that God will speak to us, other than his word, is through people. It's why you got to get the right people in your life. If you get the right people in your life, you'll hear God confirming and saying things to you, whether that be words of encouragement, it can be words of warning, it can be words of guidance or confirmation, assistance, etc., that we want to get the right people around us so that we can hear God even better. Can I get an amen? Yeah. I want to just tell you this quick story, if y'all would just indulge me just for a moment. before we get into this last language that I'm going to share with you today, how God will speak to you. And I just want to give one of my claims to fame. How many of you know we all have claims to fame? We love to tell stories about the old us, because when we tell stories about the old us, it's almost like we could have gone pro. That's how we tell stories. So this is one of those stories, okay? I'm warning you in advance, but here's one. I shared with you a few weeks ago of my basketball career in college. Now I want to share with you. I knew that that wasn't going anywhere. I'm 5'8 on a good day and with the right shoes on. But I really wasn't that good in basketball. My best sport was baseball. In fact, there was a part of my life, I went to California to live, and I actually walked on to a college and said, I'd like to walk on and try out for the baseball team. And they said, great, we'd love to give you an opportunity. Here's what we want you to do. There's a semi-pro baseball team here in our community. We were going to get you on that team. We'll come out, we'll watch. If you do well, then we'll give you a walk-on opportunity at the university. So I said, great, and they made that hookup. Here's my claim to fame. This semi-pro baseball league in Southern California was where really good baseball players from colleges all around would get on a semi-pro team during summer, and then there was a summer league. So you were playing against incredible competition, guys from some of the famous schools, from UCLA and USC and Cal State Fullerton and all these other baseball powerhouses. Some of their best players were on the semi-pro. And so it was not uncommon to go to a game and see the scouts there with the machines, the miles per hour machines, to check on a pitcher that they were looking at to draft for the major leagues. And so this one day, we go to the game and the stands are full with about 30 professional scouts with all these guns. And you knew today was a big day. They weren't there to watch me. Okay, I just want y'all to know that. They were there to watch a pitcher that would eventually be chosen in the first round, the number 9 pick in the major league draft. And he was going to be pitching against us. Here's my claim to fame. He threw a 95 mile an hour fastball. That's fast. In baseball, that's fast. 95 mile an hour fastball does not look like a baseball anymore. If it's thrown at 95 miles an hour, it looks like a BB. It's a little. And so he had a 95 mile an hour fastball, an incredible slider, known for his fork ball, which comes in like a fastball, drops out at the bottom. You think it's a fastball, it's not a fastball, and it just drops, and you swing, and you look like an idiot. Here's my claim to fame. First time at bat, he struck me out on a fork ball. Second time at bat, I grounded out to the shortstop. Third time at bat, I hit a single up the middle. That's my claim to fame. That's it. That's all I got. 1 for 3. That's 333. That's a 333 batting average. 333 will get you into the Hall of Fame. I could have gone pro. How many of you know one day doesn't make a career? Listen, I hit a 95 mile an hour fastball back up the middle. Let me tell you how fast it is. I said, I'm swinging at this next pitch. He started his wind up like this, and I started swinging. That's how fast a 95 mile an hour fastball is. The baseball is 2.86 inches in baseball. It travels 60 feet, 6 inches. At 95 miles an hour, it goes from pitcher's hand to the catcher's mitt in 0.43 seconds. It takes 1/5 of a second of the retina even to receive the incoming message. By the time the ball gets there, by the time you get the message, the ball is already halfway to the plate. The margin of error between a swing and a miss or a swing and a hit is 10 milliseconds. That's 15 times faster than the eye can blink. So how does a man hit a 95 mile an hour fastball? Two things. Good vision, say that, and good timing. I want to talk to you about timing today. I want to talk to you about There's two words in the New Testament for timing. One of those words is the word chronos, the Greek word chronos, which is the ticking of the clock. Right now, I've got 22 minutes and 53 seconds to finish this message. It's 10:07 a.m. We measure chronos. We measure our past by chronos. We can say last week we met here at this time. That's chronos. We measure our present in chronos. It's 10:07 a.m. now. And we measure our future by chronos. What are we doing next week? Where are we going to eat? When are we meeting mama and them? What day, what time? That's chronos. God does not work in chronos timing. He does not work by clock. In fact, the scripture lets us know that a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. He doesn't work by clocks and the ticking of seconds. This past week, I got to meet with a young man from another campus and has the call of God in his life. He just wanted some wisdom from me. I don't know why he came to me, but he did. And he said, "Pastor Yu, I have this call of God on my life. What do I do with it? When is the time that I will go from being a dream teamer to being a full-time staff person? Is there a possibility? Is there a door opening? Is there a time?" He wanted to give him chronos, give him a date and a time period. Listen, look right here. God does not work like that. God works on a different time clock. He works, I'm calling it seed, time, and harvest. There is seeds that you plant, then there is time. Everybody say time. And then there is harvest. And you still want to know, when will the harvest come? I'm going to give you the answer. You ready? You can write this down. When will God finally answer my prayer? Ready? At the right time. That doesn't fit into our chronos box. When will my child finally surrender and give their heart to the Lord? I've got a promise from God. Excuse me. And all of his promises are yes and amen. When will it happen? Chronos. Give me the date, the time, the hour. God doesn't work like that. He says it'll happen when it happens, but it will be in the right. It'll be in the right time. So how many of you are still hanging on to a promise from the Lord that you haven't seen the fulfillment of yet? You keep believing, keep watering the seed with your prayer, with your faith, with your praise. When will it happen? At the right time. That's the promise of the Lord. You received that this morning. So that's chronos, the ticking of the clock. But the second word that timing is the word kairos, another Greek word, which simply means this. It means the opportune time. It's the critical moment or the appointed time. Or you might say, for such a time as this. And so I want to talk to you today what I believe is one of the ways that God speaks to us. We've all had these kairos moments. If we look back over our past, they usually come back up as regrets, things you missed opportunity. Doors were open for a second, and you wish you would have. You would have asked the girl for the date, but you missed the opportunity. You wish you would have made the investment. Now you look back, and the stock market skyrocketed, and you missed it. We all have these moments. As I look back over my life, I've probably missed more kairos moments or missed them than I seized. And usually because you're afraid of what you're going to look like or afraid of looking foolish or awkward or maybe even some inadequacy or insecurity. And I've missed a few of them, which leads me to what language are we talking about today? One of the languages of God is called promptings, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say prompting. Yeah, I want to just talk to you about that and unpack it a little bit so that when you leave here, you have a clear picture of what I mean by a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And here's what it means. A prompting is to move, to act, or to say, or to do something. It's kind of a nudge. You feel prompted. I feel like the Holy Spirit has prompted me. It's kind of the kind of, well, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a husband in the room and your wife sits by you at church, there's probably been a Sunday or two where I've said something from the stage and your wife went, how many of you men have that ever happened to you? Raise your hand. You lie, you fry, you're in church, right? She's kind of went, he's talking to you. How many of you know you can't really do it the opposite way or you're in trouble when you get home? The wife can nudge the husband. That's what it is. It's the nudging. It's the say that's you. It's the little push if you've ever been nudged. But I want to say to you, it's also, you got to learn to discern God's promptings, and it does take some practice because it's like learning a new language, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you can miss it, and it's not three strikes and you're out. Let me encourage you. It's like this story of a large company that was feeling that it was time for a shakeup. So they hired this new CEO. This new boss was determined to rid the company of every slacker. And so on a tour of the facilities, the CEO noticed a guy just leaning up against a wall during work hours. The room was full of other workers, and so he wanted to let them know he meant business and wanted to set an example. So the new CEO walked up to the guy leaning against the wall and asked, how much money do you make a week? A little surprised, the young fellow looked at him and replied, I make $300 a week, sir. Why? And the CEO then reached in his pocket and handed the guy $1,200 in cash and screamed, here's 4 weeks' pay. Now get out and don't come back. Feeling pretty good about himself, the CEO looked around the room and asked, does anyone want to tell me what that slacker did around here? And from across the room came a voice. I think it was the pizza delivery guy from Domino's. I mean, you know, you can miss it sometimes. I've shared with you this story. I can remember this prompting. The prompting of the Holy Spirit. One day it was Christmas time. I was in New Orleans and went into a store during Christmas time to buy a last minute gift. Lines were long. Got up finally to the cashier and I heard the prompting. The prompting. Tell her about me. Just the receptionist. I mean the cashier. And that prompting. That kind of inside voice. That tell her. And I finally get up to the room. So I'm thinking the whole time I'm in line, I'm going, Lord. Man, it's so busy. I mean, everybody's just going in and out. I only have one item. I mean, I'm already talking myself out of it. Quit acting like I'm the only one that's ever done this. I'm talking myself out of it. I mean, I don't even have time. I got one item. I mean, this is quick. This is Christmas. I'm busy. Woo! Ha! Lord. Woo! Man, that lady's going to think I'm crazy. I'm getting up there. And then I could see her name tag before I was the next customer. I could see her name tag, and her name was Mary. What a segue. This is not a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. This is a softball the Lord is throwing up to me to say, hey, just go ahead and start the conversation. Plant the seed. I mean, here's your opportunity. Her name is Mary. It's Christmas time. Come on. I mean, all you got to do, the mother of Jesus. I mean, you just throw it out there. And so I get all the way up into the line, and it's my turn, you know, and they beep. Okay, is that it, sir? Yeah, Mary, that'll be it. And that'll be it. And I'm going, Lord, I just don't have time. And so she's already done. And just she goes to press the button, and the entire computer system shuts down. Mary. Okay. There's not a good end to the story. I walked out of there and never said a word. Oh, shame. Let's close in prayer right now. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today. The Lord took my guilt, my sin, and my shame on a cross. Say, can I get an amen, a witness, a little love? So I want you to see, sometimes the promptings, how many of you have ever thought you felt something, but you didn't follow through? It's not three strikes and you're out. It's not three strikes. How many of you know the Lord loved that Mary? One day I'm going to see her in heaven. He was after her. I just had the opportunity, the kairos, the moment of opportunity that I didn't seize it. And that I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to reach that young lady because he's the one who draws them to himself. If it was all left up to us without the Holy Spirit, how many of you know there wouldn't be a church, we wouldn't be building a building. The Holy Spirit has to move. And so I've missed that opportunity. There was another time, though. I've had some other moments. One day, Heidi and I were going through Weatherford, Texas, on the road. We pulled over. We only had one child back then. Her name was Hillary, our firstborn daughter. And she was just in the little carrier, you know, where you carried them. And Hillary was born with these big blue eyes, ice blue. I mean, her eyes, thank God she grew into her eyeballs. I mean, they were way too big. It was abnormal. Just these humongous saucers right there. It's like nothing but eyes. It was like, where's her nose? I don't know. Just these eyeballs. And so just ice blue, beautiful eyes. So we brought her in and we set her down and then we're sitting down and we're getting to order just a restaurant. And I looked across the room and I saw this lady, this middle-aged lady who was eating by herself. And I got a prompting. This is this little nudge. And here's what the nudge said. Tell her it's going to be okay. That was it. It's going to be okay. So we're looking at the menu. Heidi's going, what are you going to get? I think I'm going to get, no, what are you getting? Because they always want to know what you're getting because they don't want to get the same thing that you're getting because they're going to eat some of yours off your plate because they want to have two different kinds of things. And I'm going, no, you get your own. French fries, are you getting French fries? Because I don't want to get French fries, but if you get French fries, I'm going to eat some of your French fries. Get your own French fries. So we're going through that. She's looking, she's talking. I'm not listening because I'm going, oh no, I got a prompting. This is a prompting. Oh no, I mean, this lady doesn't know me. We're in a weird city. I don't even know where we're at. I don't know. This lady doesn't know me. She's going to think I'm crazy. I mean, what am I going to say to her? I'm crazy. Hey, I'm crazy. I got a word from God. Christians are weird. What am I going to say to this woman? And so I made a deal with God to tell you how much faith I had. I had made a deal. She's across the restaurant. The exit way is that way. I made a deal with God. She'd have to go out of her way to come to our table. So I made a deal with God. God, here's the deal. This is all in my mind. Heidi has no idea. She's looking at her menu talking about what am I going to get? I made a deal. Here was the deal. I said, okay, God, if this is you, I know y'all have more faith than I do because you would never do that, right? You would just go obey, wouldn't you? And I just said, okay, God, if this is you, here's the deal. Okay, God, if this is you, have her come by our table. If she comes by our table, out of her way to come to our table, then I will know it is you. And I'm just praying. And just about that time, I pulled down my menu and there she's standing. And she goes, oh, what a beautiful baby. My, what big eyes she has. And then her and Heidi start talking, right? They're talking. I don't hear what they're saying because it's like, wah, 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 because I'm going, Lord, what are you doing? I mean, she's going to think I'm crazy. But am I going to just do it right here? I mean, just say, God told me? I mean, how do I do this, Lord? What do I do? I don't know. This is a prompting. Well, how do I handle a prompting? I don't even know what to do with this prompting, Lord. Lord, I can't believe you brought her all the way over here. I mean, what am I supposed to do to that? By that time, she ends up walking away. Where's the love in this church? I mean, so she walks out the door. I pull that thing down. I'm white as a ghost. Heidi looks at me and goes, what's wrong with you? I said, I'll be right back. I run out to the parking lot. She's opening her car door and I walk out. I go, excuse me, ma'am. Hey. Hi. Listen, here's the deal, right? See, we were in there, I saw you, and I don't know if you can use this or not. I mean, I don't even know. But see, what had happened was we were in there and you came by. And anyway, what I'm trying to say is you may think this is crazy, and that's okay. But I felt like maybe God shared. I don't know if you believe in God, but I don't know where you're at, like in your spiritual walk and stuff. But like, I mean, I feel like God told me to tell you something. She's like, yes. He just wanted you to know it's going to be okay. It's. I don't know if you could use that or not. I just wanted to tell you. Okay, God bless you. And then she starts crying. And I'm going, is this good? Is this good cry? And she goes, you're never going to believe this, which is a good sign. When they say, you're never going to believe this, because then it's about something you're going to go, ha-ha, yes. You're never going to believe this. She goes, but I've been at the hospital all week with my daughter. She's pregnant, and they don't know if she's going to make it or the baby's going to make it. This is the first time I've eaten in a week. I just stopped by. She's resting. I grabbed something to eat real quick, and I'm going straight back to the hospital right now. I just want to tell you, thank you. And I said, yes, ma'am, I am a pastor. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in the room. Let's pray. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for healing, loving this woman. I walked back in that restaurant. He's going like, what are you doing? I just said, baby, I just need to give a word from the Lord to that woman. I prayed. I blessed everybody's food in the whole place. Let us pray. That's a slight exaggeration, but barely. What do I want you to hear? I want you to hear that the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you, and He wants to give you promptings. He'll nudge you just a little bit. And if we were all honest, we look back, we see there's been times that we've missed it. I just want you to look forward so when you have another prompting that you will step out on it instead of backing up from it, you would step into it. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Be of good courage and step into the prompting. There is an advertising phenomenon. Come help me out, Vic. I'm gonna call an audible real quick. This morning, again, I'm just wrapping the bow on this whole series. So really, it's one long message. So I just want to wrap the bow on it. This morning, I walked into Go Bears. Y'all know that's the truck stop restaurant / gas station. And I walked in today. You never know. I go there every Sunday. I see the same guy every Sunday. I learned his name today. His name is Sterling. Some of you know Sterling? Anybody know Sterling? You know Sterling? Sterling works, he works there. I see him every Sunday. And I walked in today. He's never said anything to me. He's usually in the parking lot or he's doing something around the store. And paths never cross. I just see him every Sunday. But today our paths cross. And you don't ever know. People know you before you know them sometimes. And it was one of those times. And he goes, hey, who was that football player you had at church one Sunday? I'm thinking, have I always acted like Jesus while I've been up in this store? I sure hope I have. This brother knows me and I don't know him. And I said, Tim Tebow. He goes, I was at your church on that Sunday. He goes, I just sat in the back. I said, well, come back. He goes, no, man. I said, no, man, everybody's welcome, bro. And I could tell by his face, it's like, I'm not welcome in a place like that. I was like, dude, you need to come to church. I'm going to come. I'm going to come. Walked away. Seed, time, harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. I want you to hear this from me, and I'm going to read this passage of scripture real quickly. Let me take you to the book of Acts to the who Saul, this is before he's Apostle Paul, he is a persecutor of Christians. He's trying to stamp out the church. He's trying to stop it. Let me read it real quickly. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues of Damascus so that if they found any there who belonged to the way, that was what they called us, people who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, read the yellow, a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. He heard say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could not see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat. He did not drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. Verse 12. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him, restore him sight. I'm going to fast forward. He's going to go. He's going to go pray for him. Saul's going to receive his sight. He's going to be healed. Here's what I want you to hear. God is so committed to speaking to you. God, first of all, spoke to Saul in an audible voice. Secondly, God spoke to Saul in a double vision. He was having a vision of Ananias coming to lay hands on him. Ananias was having a vision of Saul that he was supposed to go and lay hands on him. A double vision. And then God even spoke in GPS detail to Ananias. There is a man named Saul from Tarsus. Go into the city and then go down Straight Street in 300 feet, turn left, that he was going to get him to the very right place. And then on top of that, he's even going to heal Saul of his blindness. What am I saying to you? I want you to see how determined God was to show Saul who he was to become, that he didn't just speak to him in one language, he spoke to him in four languages. I'm calling that stereo. So when you walk through this life and your mama says something to you, then you went, wow, that was good. And then you go home and your wife says, I was reading in the Bible today. And you go, ooh, that was good. And then you had a vision or a daydream where you thought, what a great idea. And you start hearing God in all kinds of ways about one thing. It's probably God. And you need to seize the moment and the opportunity. I don't want you to miss it. Do you receive this word from me today? Look at me. When Paul could see, he had no vision. It wasn't until he was blind that he got a vision. What am I saying to you? Sometimes you have to unplug from all the things you see so that you can plug into God to get it. If you don't plug into God, your mind will be filled with everything you see, and you'll never hear the voice of God. I said to week 3, I think it was, in order to connect with God, you're probably going to have to disconnect to so many things that are vying for your attention and your imaginations. Are you hearing me? I want you to hear the voice of God. If we're going to do what God has called us to do in this region, you're going to have to be able to go, the Holy Spirit's leading me and he's speaking, and I'm going to follow through. He will guide you by His Spirit. And when you start hearing God talk to you, everything changes. There will never be a normal Christian in you again. Holla, holla, holla. I want the Lord to speak to you. You receive this word today? Would you just lift your hands to heaven? Father, our hearts are open. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love us. Would you tell Him, thank you, Holy Spirit? Would you say, Holy Spirit, talk to me? Father, we're learning your languages, so we'll know with the leading of the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We know, Father, you said our flesh would lead to death, but the Spirit will lead to life. Father, the great adventure of following you, the knowing that each and every day we get up out of bed, that you want to use us, speak to us, lead us, guide us, let us be an instrument in which you use. Father, that wherever we go, we would represent you. Father, lead us by your Holy Spirit. So, Father, that is our prayer today. We receive it. We thank you for it. Would you say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fresh and anew today, in Jesus' name. Now, I want every Christian praying, I want to give you, the Holy Spirit is here today, and He's already prompting some of you. Today, you've often said, I wish I could do life and start life all over again. I wish I had a do-over, a mulligan. Can I tell you, you can. Jesus called it being born again. To be born again. If you could start over again. I wish I could be born again. A brand new life. You can have it today. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in Him. He said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again. You go, Pastor, how do I be born again? It's easy as A, B, and C. A, admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I am a sinner. Your pastor is a sinner. And you're in a room full of professional sinners. We've all sinned. But B, believe that Jesus came to this earth to pay the penalty for it. He came to pay it so you didn't have to pay it. He took the sin of the world upon Himself and He died on a cross to pay for our sin, our guilt, and our shame. Even the shame that people tried to put on me today, He died for it. Thank you, Jesus. And then C, just confess. Call Him Lord. Make Him Lord. Confess that He's the Lord. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. The Holy Spirit's prompting your heart right now. You feel like your heart's about to jump out of your chest. That's Him. That is Him. That's the prompting. I want to pray for you. If that's you today, just say, Pastor, that's me. And all you got to do is raise your hand up high real quick. Hold up high right now. I'm going to pray for you to receive Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Hold up high. I see your hand. 1 and 2 and 3. Hold up high. Thank you, ma'am. 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. I'm looking. 10. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. 10 hands this morning. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these. Would you say this out loud? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God praise for that today, amen.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church. If you'd like to learn more or to take your next step, call our church office at 337-678-0660.